last Saturday afternoon in Dudley, after the worship services, we had dinner together. And then several of us were sitting outside on a bench outside the church building, and some questions came up, and we had a very helpful time of discussion with some men and a couple of women standing there. And one of the men made the statement. He said, "That's got to be the best sermon I ever heard." Somebody next day referred to it as a sermon on the bench. I'd like to preach like that tonight. I'd like for us to just sit down together. I wish I could sit down just beside each of you and open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 2. And I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you from the Word of God and from my heart, and I think, I believe, from the Spirit of God. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5 will be my text. Let's begin reading at verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it." God says, "I'm going to establish my church, and my elect out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue will come into it. And many people shall go and say, 'Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths.'" Oh, God, teach us Your ways. Give us grace to walk in Your paths. "For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." God will send His word out of Zion to His people. "And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord." Let us walk in the light of the Lord. That's the title of my message tonight. Throughout the Scriptures, we are repeatedly called upon by God the Holy Ghost to walk in the light of the Lord. Let's look at a few passages very familiar to you. Matthew chapter 8, or chapter 5. Matthew the 5th chapter. Our Lord is speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. And He's speaking to His disciples, to you and I who are His, to you and I who are redeemed by His blood, washed in His blood, born again by His Spirit, who live by faith in Him. He says, "You are the light of the world." You. The light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. He's established His church in this world, and He says that you alone are the light of the world. There's no other light in this world to show men the way of life with Jesus Christ the Lord but you who know Him. You are the light of the world. "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Now the Savior says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." What on earth is He saying to us in that passage of Scripture? What's He saying? Is He saying to you and me, "See to it that you live in such a good, righteous, godly manner in such a spiritual-minded frame of life that men may behold you and say, my, he's a good man. She's a good woman. Surely, if there's anybody who knows God, these are the people. Certainly, he is not saying that. He is not saying that. There is much talk by religious people about having a good testimony in the world. And by that they mean that you should live in such a way that men would look at you and say, boy, he's godly. She's godly. These people know the Lord. Our Lord Jesus didn't teach us to be Pharisees. Now, understand me clearly. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. And for other folks who hear this message, don't misrepresent what I'm saying. I seek and I want to live in this world as one who believes God and worships God. I want to live right before men and before God. I want to live in such a way, to behave in such a way, to talk in such a way, to dress in such a way, that that woman is never ashamed to be my wife. You're never ashamed for me to be your pastor. My children are never ashamed for me to be their father. I want to live honorably before men. But I have no thought that men and women who don't know God can see God in me. I have no thought that men and women who have no clue what righteousness is can see righteousness in me. There was one occasion when our Lord spoke about a woman who had wrought a good work on him. Now, if the thought is that you should live in such a way, perform such good works, that men would see your good works and glorify God because of the works they've seen, then that woman, surely everybody would have said, my, what a good work. And Merle, it was just the opposite. Everybody who saw it, following the lead of Judas Iscariot, even the Lord's disciples, said, what a waste. What a shameful thing this woman has done. And our Lord called her sacrifice a good work. A good work which should be told wherever the gospel is preached. So what does he mean when he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven? Perhaps these are the meanings of his words. You live in such a way that your brethren, other men and women in this world who know God, may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Perhaps, he is saying, let your light so shine before men. That is, you take the light of the gospel I've given you and proclaim it unto men, that men and women may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, believing themselves the message you preach. Or perhaps, he has suggested to us, that we live in this world rightly, so that in the last day, when all things are set in their true light, men will glorify our God in the pronouncement of their own condemnation and saying amen to the everlasting salvation of God's elect. Look in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He's saying then, follow me and you walk in the light. Follow me and you'll not walk in darkness. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 8. Paul is writing to Gentile believers at Ephesus. And he says, ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. walk as children of light. You who have raised children, how often have you said to them when they were growing up, just act like you've got good sense. Just act like you've got good sense. When you do something, think beyond the end of your nose. Walk like somebody who knows what they're doing. Our Lord Jesus is saying, you now are light in the Lord, so walk like it. Walk as men and women who believe God. Walk as men and women in this world whose lives are surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruit of the Spirit, the gift of God in you, the work of God in you, this gift of light and life in Christ is altogether that which has to do with goodness and righteousness and truth. Proving, that is, as you walk in the light of the Lord, you're proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Continually offering to God that which God has given, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Have no fellowship with that which is contrary to the gospel of God's grace. Now please understand what Paul is telling us here. He is not suggesting that we should treat unbelieving folks harshly or meanly or cruelly, no matter how wicked they are. I've got to answer a letter. I'm sitting on it and want to answer it exactly right. Asking about how to deal with Muslims. If they're God's enemies, our enemies, how are we supposed to deal with them? They may be God's chosen. Deal with them mercifully, as you would everybody else. Sodomites, fornicators, adulterers, drunks. Don't engage in their activities, but deal with them mercifully. But by all means, it is our business to have no fellowship with false religion and those things that false religion promote, the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, whether you're talking about the religious activities of unbelieving people or whether you're talking about their private activities. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. By the light of the gospel that we carry into this world. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now Bobby's talking to you. He's talking to me. Children of the light who sleep as children of the night. Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from this death in which we are constantly giving ourselves. And Christ will give you light. Read on. See then that you walk circumspectly. See that you walk circumspectly. Walk as children of the light. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Now let me give you a very good paraphrase of that. Buying up the opportunity. Buying up the opportunity. Brother Dave, you've been sick for a long time now. And I have no question, because I've been there. You look back over things and say, my, what I've wasted. Am I right? Buy up the opportunity. Buy up the opportunity God's given you. You don't have much opportunity left. Buy up the opportunity to walk in the light and make men see the light of the gospel of the glory of God in the face of Christ, because the days are evil. All right, look at one more text in this regard before we go back to our text in Isaiah 2. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. I'll give you a minute to get there. 1 John 1, verse 5. This then is the message we've heard of God and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say we have fellowship with God and we deny that Jesus is the Christ, we lie and do not the truth. If we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie to ourselves, lie to one another, lie to God, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, then we're walking in the light. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and all who live by faith in Him walk in the light. Christ is the light of the world, and all who live by faith in Him walk in the light. The wise man Solomon, writing by divine inspiration, tells us, "The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. What is that saying? What does Solomon tell us with that? Christ is the path of the just. And when first we begin to walk in that path, we have a lot of questions. And a lot of questions. Just and we don't see very clearly. And we stumble and fall, and we make lots of mistakes. But the longer we walk in this path, Christ the Lord, Christ our Redeemer, Christ our righteousness, Christ our wisdom, Christ our sanctification, the clearer the path is. I've got more questions today than I've ever had, but I've got more answers too. And I see the path shining more brightly now than ever I have seen it. Walk in the light of this bright, shining path. Now, let's look at Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5. May God the Holy Ghost be our teacher as I try to show you the meaning of these words and the message they contain. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Now, let me give you five questions and answer them briefly for you with utter simplicity. Number one, to whom are these words spoken? O house of Jacob, come ye. Now I remind you again, because it must be something that we constantly remind ourselves of. Our Lord is not here addressing by His prophet the Jewish nation, the physical seed of Abraham. The house of Jacob is the house of God's elect, the Israel of God, God's church, those who are the people of God, the house of God. These words are addressed to all who, at least by profession, are the sons of Jacob. So the text speaks to you and me. It is a call issued to God's church and to every individual in the church of God in this world at any time in this world. In this dark, dark world, we who are the children of light are called upon as the sons of Jacob to walk in the light of the Lord. The sons of Jacob, they are men and women of God's peculiar distinguishing love and electing grace. Jacob have I loved. That itself ought to be sufficient to cause you and I to be inspired constantly to walk in the light of the Lord who loved us and chose us as His own. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Lindsay read it to us in the office in Malachi chapter 1 when God describes the result of that hatred He had for Esau. It's their everlasting destruction. But here is the result of God's love for Jacob. We're the sons and daughters of God Almighty. Let us then walk in the light of the Lord. The sons of Jacob are those people in this world who've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ by special revelation. In Genesis 32, the angel of the Lord Jesus, wrestled Jacob to the ground and squeezed a confession from him. What is your name? What is your name? My name's Jacob. Tricky, deceiving, cunning, sinful. My name's Jacob. That's who I am. Not anymore. Since you've acknowledged who you are, your name's Israel. For you're a prince with God, and you have prevailed. And Jacob said, I have now seen God. The house of Jacob is a nomadic people, afflicted, a suffering household, all the while they live in this world. Read the life of Jacob. All the days of his life, it was a struggle, a trial, trouble, one after the other. Trouble, trouble, trouble. Whole life of Jacob was the time of Jacob's trouble. And all our life in this world is a nomadic sojourn through this world like Jacob, full of trial, tribulation, and trouble. And all the house of Jacob have a distinct feature. All of them walk with a limp because God smote him in the hollow of his thigh and he limped through the world the rest of his days. God's people in this world walk with him. They walk in the light of the Lord, but we walk with a limp. It's called flesh. It's called sin. It's called corruption. It's called depravity. It's called unbelief. We walk with this limp by God's wise appointment, ever to make us aware of our own depravity, our need of our Redeemer, our need of a substitute, ever to wean us of the world and make us long for heavenly glory, and to make us sympathetic, kind, and gracious to one another. The house of Jacob, the whole house of Jacob is kept and preserved by God's almighty grace. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. So this word is a word from God addressed to you and me personally. Come ye. It's a word that goes out to all the house of Jacob, all the church of God, but it's personal. Hear me now. I'm talking to you. And I'm talking to me. To you who will hear me, I'm talking to you. Oh, God help you to hear Him. To hear Him. I try to preach the gospel to you and try to preach it to men and women wherever I go. And I'm constantly aware of this fact. Nobody will hear me except God speak by me and God calls you to hear. If you're God's, He gives you hearing ears, and He would have you to hear His Word. If you're part of this blessed house of Jacob, I'm talking to you. All right? The question then is addressed to God's church, to His elect. Here's the second thing. Who issues this call? Who is it that calls us to walk in the light of the Lord? This is a call from God's prophet to God's people. It's a call from God's prophet to God's people. God's servants, faithful men, never say to His people, go ye and walk in the light of the Lord. God's servants take you by the hand and say, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. In other words, God's servants, faithful men, lead the way. They lead the way. Oh, God, make me that kind of man. They lead the way. They don't call you to do what they don't do. They don't ask you to make sacrifices they don't make. They don't call upon you to make commitments they don't make. They say, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is a call from men who were once hardened in their hearts against the call that we now issue. That makes it a sympathetic call. I call on you to walk in the light of the Lord. And I fully sympathize with everything that opposes it in you and around you. I fully sympathize. I know what it is to harden my heart against God's call. We often speak of our young people, our sons and daughters, now our grandchildren, and say, boy, they live in such a terrible world. Sammy, we don't do them any favor by making an excuse for them. They live in the same world you lived in. They have the same temptations you had, the same trials you had. They go through the same troubles you go through. So you can speak to them about their present circumstances and say, I understand. I understand what you face. I understand what you deal with. I've been there. The call is sympathetic, and it's an urgent, passionate call. This is a call I hear God speak to me constantly. A call I issue to you relentlessly. Oh, sons and daughters of God Almighty, let us give ourselves in greater devotion, in greater consecration, in greater commitment to Christ our Redeemer than ever we have. And it's personal. I'm talking just to you. Just to you. Every now and then I'll get done preaching a sermon and somebody will meet me at the door and say, preacher, you were talking just to me. And my response is always, that's what I planned to do. That was my intention. I meant to get right in your heart and talk specifically to you. This is a call from young converts with burning zeal for the glory of God to older believers who become less fervent and zealous. I wrote that down and looked at it a little while early this morning. And I recall when God first saved Brother Frank Hall, and he was so full of zeal and questions. And I've told him this, so he won't mind hearing it again. I'm sure he will. I got a little bit upset with him. Because I would get questions from him all the time. And the questions usually came when I'm getting ready to preach. That's not the best time to ask me stuff. And I got just a little bit upset, and Shelby sensed it. She said, he kind of reminds me of another young man I used to know. You see, younger members of the family in Jacob's house need and want their brethren, their older brethren, to lead the way. But you and I, who are older members of the family, oh, how we need the urging and prodding of the younger. This is a call from the sons of Jacob to one another. It's the mutual call of God's people. Here are brethren and sisters calling to brothers and sisters in Christ. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Oh, God, give us grace to have such influence on one another. I want never to say or do anything that would cause you to be disinclined or to walking in the light of the Lord or to behave contrary to this. Rather, I want every word spoken to incline you to walk in the light of the Lord. Number three, what is this light? What is the light of the Lord? Without question, all men by nature have the light of conscience and of creation for which they're responsible. You can read about it in Romans chapters 1 and 2. But that's not the light he's talking about here. This is the light of special grace given to the house of Jacob in regeneration and conversion, in our continual walk with our God. The light of the Lord is Christ Himself, the light of the world. The light of the Lord is the gospel of God's free grace in Christ. Let's walk in the light of our Redeemer, His example, His behavior in this world, in the light of the gospel of the grace of God shown forth in Him. The light of the Lord is this book. His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. You often will come to me, most of you have at one time or another, wanting to know how to find God's will about something. Here it is. Here it is. This is a lamp to your feet. This is a light to your pathway. Not modern psychology, not modern philosophy, not the trends of society, not your own understanding of things. This book. The light of the Lord is the revealed will of God. And I am fully confident this is so. If you want to know God's will in any issue, you know His will. I don't have any question that's so. Our difficulty is never really knowing what His will is. Our difficulty is obedience to His will. Our difficulty is surrender to His will. And we will do everything in our power to adjust our thinking to get God's will molded to our will if He leads us to ourselves. The Lord God directs His children in His will by His Spirit through His Word in His providence, and He says, this is the way, walk ye in it. So that we walk in the light of the Lord as we trust in the Lord in all our ways and lean not unto our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He directs our paths. This is the light God's given us. It's our responsibility and our great privilege to walk in it. Christ is the Son of Righteousness, the light of the world. His gospel, His Word, His will, His Spirit, His example are all beams of light from the Son. Now understand this, they never contradict one another, and they never shine apart from one another. His Spirit, His Word, His person, His example, all tend in the same direction. They never contradict one another, and they never shine apart from one another. All right, here's the fourth question. How? How can I walk in the light of the Lord? What does it mean to walk in the light of the Lord? How can I do it? I know this, and I'll tell you only what I know. If I would walk in the light of the Lord, I must own and acknowledge that Christ is my Lord. If I would walk in the light of the Lord today, Merle, I must today own and acknowledge He's the Lord. My life is not mine, it's His. My property is not mine, it's His. My family is not mine, it's His. He is the Lord. Let Him do what seemeth Him good. And I must believe the light He gives so as He opens the Word to me and shines in my heart with the Word of life, I believe what He gives. And I must obey Him, following the direction of the light, doing His will. I have on occasion, in these 49 years, had to make decisions that I could not explain to anybody. I could not really explain to anybody except to say, I'm certain this is God's will. I'm certain this is God's will. I'll give an example. Shelby and I were engaged in my last year of high school, and we decided to wait until she graduated from college another year to get married. And long about midsummer, After I graduated, I'd already gone to Piedmont and taken summer school, took 12 hours in summer school, got started in college, and I finished that up. And I heard about a college out in Springfield, Missouri. And there wasn't anything there. There wasn't one thing there to attract me to the school. Not one thing. And from the first time I opened my mouth on that campus until 9 months later, it was constant fight with professors and students. I had one great privilege. In an overcrowded school, I had a dormitory room by myself. Nobody would stay in the same room with me. That was the one advantage I had. It was a constant fight. And she asked me, why am I going to Springfield and us be separated that entire year? And I had to say, I don't know. I just know this is what God has for me. This is God's will. It's God's will. And I'm more fully convinced now than I ever have been. That's God's will. It was the very best thing I could do. Most profitable to my soul. If I would walk in the light of the Lord, I must imitate the example of my Master. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, and walk in love, imitating God. Our Savior said, I've given you an example. You go wash one another's feet. You go wash one another's feet. What does that mean? Well, once a year we'll have high holy communion and everybody will get down and wash each other's feet. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Serve one another's needs as you have opportunity. If your brother's tired and his feet are dirty, wash his feet. Refresh him. Strengthen him. Help him. If we would walk in the light of the Lord, this we must do to the end of our days. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. All right, here's the fifth question. I'll wrap this up. Why? Why must we walk in the light of the Lord? Let me give you several reasons. Oh, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Because in the light of the Lord, our minds find certainty. Rebellion and disobedience will always make you uncertain and uncomfortable. Always. Much like rebellion and disobedience in a son makes that child unsteady. He knows eventually he's going to have to pay. He knows eventually he's going to get caught. He's always looking over his shoulder. Walking in the light of the Lord, believing Christ, seeking His honor, trusting Him, gives certainty to your life. Gives certainty to your life. So that you don't just live in spasms and unstable superstitions of religion. You don't live by feelings that are come and go. But in the light of the Lord, you have absolute, certain, infallible, unalterable stability. Walk in the light of the Lord, because in the light of the Lord, our hearts find rest. Are you as aggravated and disgusted and angry at the whole of the political world in which we live and this political process we're going through now as I am? I find some rest in God's good providence. He's in charge of this thing. He's going to take care of things. I find rest for my soul in the blood of my Redeemer and in His righteousness. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't find this kind of rest anywhere else. Not rest for my soul. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you shall find rest for your souls. In the light of the Lord, we find direction and judgment. We walk according to His will. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, the example of Christ, faith in Christ. And he that is spiritual judgeth all things. That is, he forms a right judgment, a right discernment of all things. The believer sees things in their true light. For the believer sees things in the light of the Lord. Perishing things of clay, born but for one brief day, pass from my heart away. Jesus is mine, and nothing else much matters. Let us walk in the light of the Lord, because in the light of the Lord, our souls find satisfaction. Satisfaction in the purpose of God. Satisfaction in the providence of God. Satisfaction in the hope of life, finding all fullness and completion in Christ the Lord. And one more thing. Turn to 1 John again. 1 John chapter 1. Let us walk in the light of the Lord, because in the light of the Lord, we have fellowship with God and with one another. Oh, look at this. That which we have, which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. We'll have fellowship with one another and with the Father and with the Son. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And this blessed, blessed boon of heaven, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So this is my message to you. O house of Jacob, come ye. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is my message to you who have walked in darkness for so long. Come to the light. Walk in the light. Christ Jesus. This is my message to you who would find yourselves languishing and fainting by the way, and you think the battle is just too long and too weary, too hard. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is my message to you who are going through dark storms of life. In these dark, dark times, let us walk in the light of the Lord. To you who are young, oh my soul, to you who are young, walk in the light of the Lord. Walk in the light of the Lord. His gospel. His word. His Son. Walk in the light of the Lord. To you who are older and strong, walk in the light of the Lord, not in your own strength. To you who know that you're near the grave, and to you who are near the grave and don't know it, come ye. Let us walk. What a sweet, peaceful word. Let us walk. Walk with patient confidence in the light of the Lord, in Christ who is our light. Amen.